The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into the people of righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Our first reading is a reading from Isaiah. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Word of God, word of life. Shepherd me, O God, a rock on high, beyond my fear, from death into life. God is my shepherd, then nothing shall I want. I rest in the meadows of faithfulness and love. I walk in the quiet waters of peace. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Gently you raise me and veil my weary soul. You lead me in pathways of righteousness and truth. My spirit shall sing the music of your name. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Though I should wander the valley of death, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. Your rod and your staff, my comfort and my hope. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. You have set me a banquet of love in the face of hatred, crowning me with love beyond thy power to hold. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Surely your kindness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of my God forevermore. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Our second reading is taken from Philippians. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Eudodia, and I urge Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women. For they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged, He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those who invited are not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." The slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." The Gospel of the Lord.
Since the pastor's coming back in next week, I'm going to let you in on a little secret of pastoral ministry. I know this is going to be good. If you don't know how to begin a sermon, you talk about how it was written, how the gospel was written. So, the Gospel of Matthew was written in a very interesting way. It has major parts of Jesus' life, like his birth and his death and his resurrection, in the right place. But other stories inside the gospel, it's harder to place. It's harder to know whether that was exactly the time that it happened. They didn't really have a concept of biographies like we do today. As long as you got a picture of who the person was, it didn't really matter if the events were in different order. So in Matthew's gospel, the stories of Jesus are put in order of topic rather than time. So for the last, there are parables that are grouped around harvest time. And Matthew puts those all in the same section. And then for the last 3 weeks, we've been dealing with parables that deal with religious leaders and the Pharisee. And so they're put in order that way. But we don't know whether he preached them at the same time or at different times. And the parables from the last 3 weeks have been, they've been pretty formulaic. The ones who were supposed to be good, the ones who were supposed to be chosen by God, they actually get cast aside. And God allows other people to take their place. And those other people are not necessarily who you would expect. And that's what we see at the beginning of today's parable. The king is going to have a wedding banquet for his son. The banquet, it represents life with God. The banquet represents, it could represent the end of time or death, the afterlife. When all will be gathered into the feast of God. So many places in scriptures that consider the feast or the banquet the afterlife. And that's something to celebrate. It's a party. I love a good wedding. I love a good wedding. I love, because at weddings you don't get to hear typical music. You know, I doubt in clubs, anybody go to clubs? I doubt in clubs they're playing, you know, play that funky music. You know, it just, I doubt that's happening. I love to dance to those kinds of songs. And so, you know, the wedding banquet, it's a time of rejoicing. So the afterlife is a banquet. And some people call this the Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom. It's kind of funny that people would be considered going to Abraham's chest. And this is a common, there was a common practice of parties during this time where you'd be seated around a big feast table and you would recline in certain ways And in one way you would recline is you recline and the person's chest would be right there. So when you were gathered into Abraham's bosom, you were seated at this big wedding or big feast, and you were right next to Abraham, right next to his chest, Abraham's bosom. So the banquet is ready. It's ready to be had. Let's get the party started. And the king sends out all his servants to invite those who had been invited. But interesting enough, they all say no. They all have something better to do. And this greatly insults the king. Some even go to lengths of killing the servants whom the king has sent. What does the king do? He destroys them. Not a great time for war during a wedding, but this is, of course, ridiculous if this was really about a wedding banquet, because it's not. It's really about the kingdom of God. And it repeats what we've heard in other parables. God had sent out prophets in order to proclaim the reign of God. The religious leaders, they kill them because they didn't listen to God, and death and destruction follow. But the parable, it does not end there. It doesn't end there. Maybe this parable is really about us. Yes, the beginning, what I've just talked about, is how we got here. But maybe this parable is really about the church being the church. I love what happens in the parable next. The servants are sent out to invite everyone. The scripture says he then sent his servants to go into the main streets and invite everyone to the wedding banquet. Those servants went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so that the wedding hall was filled with guests. This is what grace is. Everyone is invited to the banquet where God is king. Grace is being invited to receive a special gift of unity with God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. There is no prerequisite to enter. Both good and bad are invited. You are invited to the party. You don't have to have everything right with God. You don't have to be a good person. Both good and bad are invited. That's grace. Martin Luther understood this very well. So many times in church history, there have been demands at the door. You are required to do these things before you get to get invited in. But that's really not the case. Being in relationship with God is open to all. And it's through this invitation, this pure grace, where God is king. Most times, I'd like to stop right there. I'd like to just put a period on it and say amen. And in fact, you'll notice when I was giving the children's sermon, that's exactly what I did. Because when we're forming children, we want to talk about a God who invites everybody in. And this most certainly is true. But there's a second part to this parable. And the parable reveals something about participation. The king roams the party, and he finds that somebody isn't wearing a wedding robe. He wasn't dressed for the occasion. Just the other day, I was reading a news report on CNN, and it was talking about how some restaurants are starting to enforce a dress code. And I think this is interesting because it has more to do with men than women. I can't tell you how many times I've been to a restaurant and I've seen a couple, and obviously the woman has spent a lot of time getting ready. And the man next to him is wearing jeans and a t-shirt, maybe. Maybe a button-up shirt, you know. There's, you know, so really this dress code thing, Scott's going, yeah, I do that. and if my wife was here, she would be like, yes, my husband does that. so really this dress code is about men participating more in the sort of ceremony of going to a restaurant and how they're going to present themselves. The man who didn't wear the wedding robe to the banquet was present, but he wasn't participating. And there's a difference between showing up and participating. It's just as offensive to the king if you don't participate than it is to those people who didn't show up. You've been to the party, you've been invited here, and you don't want to participate? The king will have none of that. And so he throws them out. Christianity operates as a middle way between two ditches. And the first ditch is called legalism. And the second ditch is called antinomianism. I know, two big words. We'll unpack those in a second. One pastor says, on the one side is legalism, which is a series of things you must do in order to be saved. We fall into this ditch when we insist that in order to make God love and accept us, we have to hold a certain form of theology, follow a particular type of worship, or a strict code of morality. The other ditch, antinomianism, is really just big talk for anything goes. You learned a new word today. And this is the attitude that no matter what we do, God being God has to love us and accept us anyway. This parable, this story seeks to point us down the middle path between these two ditches. All are invited. Many come, both good and bad. The banquet hall is filled. It is true. God's invitation to discipleship is offered to all. No legalism here. No prior requirements. No price of admission. But once the invitation has been accepted, it is expected that one's life will be changed in response to God's gracious gift of love. Participation is expected. So we as Christians operate between these two ditches, always trying not to fall into one that says you need to do this, and the other that says anything goes. And throughout church history, the church, there has been different movements that has fallen into one of these two ditches. And I've talked a little bit about legalism already. You need to do this. But Lutherans can be blamed for antinomianism, for anything goes. And the thing that illustrates this the best is the Holocaust. It was during that time that Lutheran churches in Germany were silent about the atrocities that were being committed. They were either silent or complicit in what was going on. Only a few stood up to talk about cheap grace or costly grace, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The churches in Germany were willing to fall into the anything goes ditch. And that's a sin too. The Apostle Paul states it perfectly when he wrote, "For freedom Christ has set you free." And he says later, "Should we continue to sin so that grace may abound and increase?" Of course not. We have been set free to love other people as Christ has loved us. This participation is also called discipleship. Discipleship means being a student. We are students of the way of Jesus. We are followers of his ways. We are clothed with Christ. These are the clothes that we are given in our baptism. We have been invited to the wedding banquet. And it's about participating, using those gifts and talents that God, through Christ, has already given us. Showing up and participating is the key to the parable today. We have a God who, by grace alone, has invited anyone and everyone to be united with God in a great banquet. And this is good news. This is good news for everyone. But we have to remember that when we show up, participation is expected. And participating is the best thing you will have ever done. Participating in God's redemptive and creative power being unleashed into this broken world is worth the risk. Amen.